Daddy! Little hand touched the father's head. Father opened his eyes and glanced at the clock. Said, 3:44. That would be a.m. Daddy? Yes, son? I have to go to the bathroom. Thanks for the update, son. Go ahead. Home had just been remodeled. The bathroom was at the end of a long, dark hallway. When you're 4 years old and wandering around the house for the first time, you never know what's going to be hiding behind one of those doors in that long, dark hallway. There might be giants and monsters waiting to eat little children for a late-night snack. A new hallway can look 5 miles long in the dark. Daddy? Yes, son? Please come with me. Thanks for the invite, son, but you go ahead. I'll be with you in spirit. For some reason, I'm a little tired right now. Shuffle. Stop. Daddy! Yeah, son? I need someone with skin on. The son knew the dark hallways aren't conquered by a promise. I'll be with you in spirit. Not a mystical, abstract, impersonal presence will help you out. The son needed a strong hand guiding him and a tender heart leading him. The son needed someone with skin on. As you know, we've been going through our sermon series on Job, and we come to the last one. Job's famous statement, I know that my Redeemer lives. And Job knows about long, dark hallways, doesn't he? You can follow him to a God-forsaken ash heap where he's there, with his shaved head and sores around his body. His 10 children all died from a tornado. His home destroyed. Raining bans from the neighborhood. Lightning from the sky takes his servants, takes his livestock. Reduced Job from his former position as one of the wealthiest persons in the region to now the poorest. Pitiful, ghastly sight. You could say that any number of giants had jumped out and eaten up Job for a late night snack. And Job's famous statement in the midst of all this, of course, is, I know that my Redeemer lives. But what's it mean for us today? It means that we aren't insulated from life's tragedies, but neither are we intimidated by them. Means we have someone to walk with us through life's dark, winding hallways. And he's got skin on, doesn't he? You could say this verse is the Mount Everest of Job. It's the most important verse in the book of Job. So let's climb this mountain, begin at the base camp with the words, I know. Job is living his worst nightmare. All of his fears have come true. He says in chapter 3, what I feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. And yet Job doesn't say, I kind of think, or I sure would like it, or wouldn't it be nice, or knock on wood, or maybe. Although Job has been severely assaulted, he has not been defeated. Although he has lost much of what is valuable, he has not lost that which is most precious. Job dares confess, I know. There are a lot of things we don't know, though, right? We don't know why we had to bury the love of our life. We don't know why our children turned against us. I don't know why there's never-ending conflict in our families, seemingly. We don't know why we've lost our jobs. We don't know why we feel emotionally abandoned by our parents. We don't know why we go through certain things and other people don't. Many times we don't know what God is doing. But instead of whimpering in sadness and despair, letting those giants consume us and eat us, with Joel, we dare to say, I know. I know. I know that my Redeemer, higher up we go. Job doesn't say his Redeemer, her Redeemer, your Redeemer. I know about the Redeemer. He says my Redeemer. It's personal. It's intimate. It's a relationship. In the Old Testament, a redeemer was a close relative, somebody with skin on, who would rescue or ransom or recover anyone who was or in danger of being removed from the family by poverty or war or even death or a poor economy. So if someone had fallen into debt and had to sell themselves into slavery, the redeemer would be the one to buy them out, to take them back. Or if they were forced to sell a piece of their property, the Redeemer would come forward to buy that piece of property and retain it within the family name. And if a Redeemer saw that a member of the family was hurt or killed, they would take the legal action to make sure those damages were collected against the offender. In other words, whatever goes bad, it's the Redeemer's responsibility and duty to make it right. Whatever goes bad, the Redeemer will make good. What is broken will be mended. What is sick will be healed. What is lost will be restored. And as for Joel, he knew that even what is dead will be made alive. He says, after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh, I will see God. I know my Redeemer. His name is Jesus. And although Job didn't know his name, we know his name. Although Job was waiting for his Redeemer to come, we know he already has. Jesus isn't a mystical, he's not an abstract or impersonal idea. He's someone with skin on, who's guiding us with a strong hand, with a tender heart, even when we're faced with that long, dark hallway. Jesus doesn't simply come as our Redeemer to see that justice is done. He comes to see that mercy is given. Whatever needs to be born and carried, and whatever needs to be carried out, he does to make sure that our wrongs are righted. The sentence needs to be served, he'll serve it. The fine needs to be paid, he pays it. He does whatever it takes to set us free, even if it means giving his own life on a bloody cross. Jesus forgives my guilt and yours, and he buys me back out of slavery to sin and death and the devil, and he even destroys my grave. My Redeemer, the one with skin on, skin that felt the Roman whip, skin that felt the blazing Palestinian sun while he carried the cross and the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, skin that felt the thorns on his head, and the hammering of the nails into his hands and feet. Skin and muscles and nerves that for 6 hours withstood excruciating pain on that cross. All those giants jumped up and chew Jesus like a late night snack. Romans, scribes, Pharisees, the devil took aim, shot, and killed. Yet 3 days later, this cry rocked the world. I know that my Redeemer lives. Now, we're at the top. We can see everything from here. The angels announce he is not here, he is risen just as he said. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, ran to tell the other disciples that Jesus was on the way. And he met them. They took hold of his feet and they worshipped him. The disciples on the road to Emmaus recognized the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. And Thomas, that doubting disciple, even recognized the risen Jesus after putting his hand in the scars in his hands and his side. My Lord and my God. Death is dead. The free gift of eternal life is absolutely yours now and forever. Christ's resurrection to eternal life means your resurrection to eternal life. Now, and when he returns on the last day, physically, wholly, completely, forever and ever, our Redeemer will make all the wrongs in our life right forever. People saw this Jesus literally. They didn't just hear somebody talk about him. They didn't experience a phantom or a sentiment, or like they say in eulogies often, he'll live on in spirit. The disciples didn't say this. They saw him physically, they saw him eat, they saw him drink. They saw that he was risen. And there's a word that caused all this. There's a word that's the reason for all this. It's grace. Grace is that amazing gift that God gives to us, that even when everything is wrong around us, the very core of our lives, when we are the most wrong, it is all right because God forgives our sins. Grace is the gift of power, the power to be freed to be the person God wants us to be. Grace is a promise on the days when we can barely cope with life and seemingly get through. We have the Lord bringing us through. Grace is the love poured out for us that all of our debts are paid. We're released from slavery and our brokenness has been mended. So what's it all mean? It means that whatever your long dark hallway looks like, and whatever your giants are saying, you do not walk alone. You don't need to fear the unknown or the dangers ahead. For we walk by faith and not by sight. In fact, the risen Lord, he says, now lives in us through faith. And so let all the other people worrying and doubt and fear and wondering why there was an empty tomb on this Easter Sunday morning, we become to them Jesus with skin on. Jesus living in us makes us Jesus with skin on to the people that we meet, the people that we know. Jesus makes us his witnesses. Tells us to go and tell them he's alive. He lives. All glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, what sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.